Welcome back to MovieTrailerReviews.net. I'm your host, Phenom Black, and I'm joined by Ro, and this is going to be a documentary review because we have a shitload of documentaries to go through. And because I know Chris and myself don't get a lot of documentary screeners until this time of the year, and they're not the most convenient screening times or locations around this period. So we kind of have to wait for to get packages in the mail of them, or from Magnolia, that rubber band DVD disc package, all of them in the little square envelopes. And then we just have to funnel through them and hope we don't waste our time watching a documentary shot by somebody's grandmother's iPhone 5.
And sometimes we are not lucky.
No. So I don't know what your experience is. Maybe out there y'all get more screenings scheduled for documentary stuff.
I like documentary films. So I have accidentally made some pretty good contacts. So I get put on to some interesting ones throughout the year. There's an older woman who's a member of my critic group who personally believes that no film that's not a documentary is worth anything. She tends to slide me her DVD screeners when she gets them. So I don't get stuck waiting until FYC time to get lambasted. Although I did get hit with some that I hadn't heard anything about and was pleasantly surprised, but also pained.
Yeah. So the clear sign of a good documentary is almost indistinguishable from the clear sign of a good podcast: tragedy. And it, like most of the documentaries you watch, they're just, even if they're funny, they're tragically funny. Like Fire is a tragically funny documentary. And the one we're going to talk about today, When Lambs Become Lions, I always want to say When Lions Become Lambs, but When Lambs Become Lions, is also kind of tragic, but an interesting take on what to me just felt like a cat and mouse game from both sides of the perspective on poaching.
Specifically poaching ivory in Kenya and other places.
So here's the description. In the Kenyan bush, a small-time ivory dealer fights to stay on top while forces mobilize to destroy his trade. When he turns to his younger cousin, a conflicted wildlife ranger who hasn't been paid in months, they both see a possible lifeline. That makes it sound like a thriller almost, like two guys come together, like crisscross or something. What?
Yeah, I am not a fan of that description for many of the non-objective reasons and because of what you say. This movie felt more like the movie was more objective than that description gives it credit for.
Yeah.
And it also was about more than just this guy looking for a come up and another guy who was pissed because he didn't get paid.
Yeah.
So that makes me uncomfortable.
Well, if you had to describe it, what would you say? And then I'll get into more of the people behind the scenes, like the director and the main characters, which I think it's mostly three, and there are some other characters. But like, if you had to describe it, you know, in a couple sentences, what would you put to it?
A look at the, I mean, just what I said. I was like looking at poaching in Kenya from both sides of both sides of the issue.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. To me,
I don't know why they have to try to get really fan. This is the conceit of trying to market shit to, I'm going to say it, white people. They think there always has to be some kind of driving narrative where there may be some kind of redemption arc, or there may just be some, you know, sort of emotional fall short. They feel like you need a rabbit to fall. And for me, I was interested in this because you hear about poaching, you hear about the ivory trade. I watched Sea of Shadows, which was about poaching off the coast of Mexico out of one of their bays for a fish that was for something inside its body to go to China. And I'll get you the name so you can see it because it was amazing and I was traumatized. And anytime someone starts calling somebody the El Chapo of fish, I need to know what the fuck's going on. And I felt the same way about When Lambs Become Lions. I was intrigued by the name, why you would do the reversal, because that's not how the proverb saying goes. they don't generally tend to talk about this from the people who are on the ground level at any level. They always look at the ivory trade either from the very Eurocentric perspective of collecting. So you're looking at artifacts or, you know, figurines that have already that are post poaching, or they're looking at something that's being done for medicinal purposes in China and trying to make it seem like, look, if you could stop the woo-woo magic and everybody became Christian, this shit would stop. This was the first time that somebody seemed like they were looking at the people who live in Kenya, the highs, the whys and the hows and the wherefores, that poaching is a thing. And looking at it for the people who are supposed to stop it and the people who can't not do it. I didn't need this whole that description is trash.
It's weird because I'm actually reading, we discussed this before we actually started to review this New York Times review of this, and it's a very short review. That's my first thing. But I feel like this guy watched a different documentary than me, or watched it from a different angle, or used a different set of eyes or understanding, because in one paragraph he says, So there are three main characters in this, and then there are side characters like the children and like Asan's wife, ex's children and stuff. But for the most part, there are three main characters. There's this poacher X, who is basically like the slick talker. He's the guy. He's the middleman communicator between the people who actually go out, kill the animals and poach them, and how to sell and move the product once they get it, once they get the ivory. So he kind of like is that middleman to the whole poaching mafia. They come to him, they tell him this is what we need, and he goes, I can get that for you because I'm that guy. He's that guy. Let's put it like that. X is that guy. He's guy X. He has a cousin named Asan who works for a ranger, which is a militia-type group that has dedicated themselves to basically exterminating these poachers. They are hard-ass on these poachers. They don't play. Like, there's one point in the documentary where they talked about how poachers have tied guys up near these creeks and like crocodiles just go for them, you know, just left them there to be eaten by crocodiles. These guys are kind of savage in the way they range. And then there's a help person or a sidekick to X named Lucas. And I'm reading this description. This guy says, you know, the author is the reviewer is Glenn Kinney. And he says X has a cousin, Asan, who works as a ranger and a patrol assigned to stamp out poaching. His outfit hasn't been paid in months, so he's tempted to abet X and Lucas on an expedition. The devil will burn you, Asan's young yells at him. And I'm like, okay, that might have been a small segment of this documentary, but that isn't really the huge majority of this documentary. And it's not
even the stuff he used to make his little paragraph, that's not side by side.
Yeah, I don't understand how you watch this, because this opens up introducing you to X, and he presents himself as a cool individual. He is in the underground world. He has connections. He knows people. He goes clubbing. He smokes cigars and shit. Like, he dresses a particular way to sell his image. He's that guy. And then they kind of show him poaching. He's always on his cell phone. He's always kind of whisper communicating with people. Then they go on the hunt, and you see them in the dark trying to take down elephants. And they shoot them with arrows to poison them, and then they track them when they die, and they take the tusk. They kind of show you
whether
that
they die or not.
Well, true, yeah, that part too. It's pretty horrific. And then they jump to the ranger side, and they show you Asan's side of the game. These guys that, you know, again, are very militant, and they track these poachers, and they have their particular devices and whatnot, and then they have their feelings about poachers, and they basically believe poachers are scum and trash and should just be annihilated. But this faction isn't being paid. So I thought that was interesting, because this wasn't the only thing I watched this year about a foreign country, specifically in Africa, where they show people not getting paid and the consequences of that. If you're wondering what I'm talking about, Atlantics is on Netflix right now, so please go watch that.
Please go watch it.
It was a huge callback, I thought, to that, just in that portion. It's like, this is clearly a real thing that social culture in that country deals with constantly, and for it to be reflected in two different projects in film this year, I thought was really dope. But
go ahead. To be perfectly honest, if you haven't watched American Factory,
I did,
and you want to, have you gotten to that one?
I finished it a couple days ago.
Okay, but I thought it was for me because that was the juxtaposition because I seen Atlantics and I clocked into that. But the juxtaposition of it for me is when they were doing American Factory and they talk about these people whose jobs were eliminated, the plants were closed. Here comes somebody to do jobs for them, and their attitude and their entitlement and their presumption and the way that they expected everything to bend to meet them where they were versus these people who were over here who were like, how do I move to where money is? And the justifications they gave themselves on both sides of the issues between the people who are at the work level, it was just, it was kind of eye-opening to listen to it.
It was a
You know,
lot.
it's something that was domestic and something that was an international perceived, you know, problem. And you look at it, I was like, the consequences of not paying people well, or the consequences of paying people and then taking that money away. And then them finding another way to get paid, that's a global issue. Messing with people's money and the consequences therein are just, it's kind of like a global thing for me watching all it's I'm in documentary overload. I don't know about you.
Yeah, no, I am. I've watched like six or seven in the last 3 or 4 days, and I'm not done because I have some other ones I want to run through. But yeah, I think we definitely should talk about American Factory because I have some. I'm wondering if we have differing opinions about the different perspectives presented in that
I'm from
film
the
and the way
South,
people
man. We
acted.
can throw American Factory in here. I didn't know you'd already seen it.
Yeah, I've seen
So
it.
I get let's finish with let's not disrespect lines from there and
Oh,
switch to the
absolutely
subject too
not.
soon. It's just when I started thinking about how people are looking at what you've got to do for money and how universal finding out a way to become a plug for something is. I was like, this is, I mean, and I started to also think about this, and I get uncomfortable with the way that he cued in, and this is what he wanted to focus it on, because this still narrows it down to showing blackness in ways or describing blackness in ways that non-white people are not happy with this being the image and stereotype that you build to farm out and explain their motivations and caricatures of people and how you limit things. It's kind of how you want to, you know, take a theory from Carl Jung about, you know, divine masculine and feminine, and suddenly say, oh, he must be saying he's gender fluid, because you limit things and you limit characterizations and language. So you've got this guy at the center of all this.
Yeah, for me it's interesting because like you clearly have a character that's more interesting than the other character, but the dynamic of the two characters' stories aren't less interesting in my opinion between them. I think that Asan's story is more about family and X's story is more about family business or just business. And it turns more into being about family and survival from his side because this has a lot of things that remind me of The Departed. In the way you have these people who know who each other are and they know that they're tracking each other, but they also have a kinship type bond. So it you throw that into the mix and it's like, dog, you know if we catch you out here, we gonna shoot you, right? And the
I
other
mean,
one's
come
like,
on,
but you gotta catch me
it's
first.
like anything. You put it in domestic terms.
Yeah,
Somebody
it's
joins a gang, somebody doesn't.
everybody's trying to survive and everybody has to take the road they choose to travel. And I
Yeah,
feel like
somebody stays in school, somebody drops out.
It's not even like a road less traveled situation here because there are so many poachers. And like it, when you see the age range of these poachers and the conditions that they're in, like there's one person that they catch in this and he's like, I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything. And finally he has a full breakdown on the ride back. And he's like, how am I supposed to feed my kids? How am I supposed to send them to school? Like I'm
My
stealing
kids aren't gonna
elephant
be.
tusk.
That killed me when he was like, my kids won't be able to go to school. What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do?
Yeah, he's like, y'all are gonna kill me over some elephant tusk. And I can see the perspective from both sides. I can see the, well, you guys are out here killing elephants like unbothered, it seems. Like you're just doing it to the degree and you know the amount that you're doing it is the true tragedy. You're extincting this animal. At the same time, I'm looking at this like, yo, you're killing people now, like animals, the way that you feel they're killing elephants for ivory. I don't
Man,
feel like anyone's better
it's
than the
murder
other
all
person.
around.
Yeah, I don't feel like anybody's better than the other person. And you can't glorify, animal preserve. You can't glorify the safari or the preserve over the people that you're not preserving. That's gonna erupt in turmoil. Which is what's
That's
going
the
on
part that
here.
killed me right there. When they started showing where people were living and how Hassan's wife couldn't go to, was afraid to go to the hospital without him. I was like, she ready to push. Come on, y'all. But, and he was still at work at, 'cause he needed to try to get paid. And you look at this from the other perspective, or like, there was just this one pivotal scene where they were driving around. Now, X has made this promise. He has promised the payload. And the people who he has promised it to, they don't want to hear any excuses.
Nope. Itchy
Use your
palms, bro.
brain, get it done. I was like, they're going to kill him.
Yeah.
They will kill him. And then on the other hand, where it's like, he's got his, he's they that he's told them just enough for them to know that he's got an inside man, that there shouldn't be any problems because I have a way in, I have the hookup. Do you really think that when it comes down to it, they can't find out that he's got family who works in the preserve on one of the ranger teams?
But family that isn't even fully committed to being the
Right.
direct connect, right? He's straddling in the line between doing the quote unquote the subjective right thing and doing the subjective wrong thing. And it depends
Yeah.
on where you're coming
But
from. It
Jordan's
depends on
already obliged
circumstance.
him because he's already made promises. Like blood, whatever. They act and react to each other like brothers.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how I started seeing them. I'm like, the kinship between them and the way he was even be able to talk him around, he's like, better this than doing this job for free, And like I was like, and he kept circling back like a shark, getting in his ear. I was like, man.
But this was a man that was already broken. This was a man whose wife was who it you could look at that scene and it could be presented as like berating. But this was also a man who went off on one of his kids at a particular point in this film because of his own anger, his own driven
Anger.
anger. And that kid was being a little ass. Kids do that. Kids act out. But the way he reacted to it was not okay. And I'm glad that in this film they showed such like despite their situation, they showed a powerful woman in his presence. Who was not
She's
going
like,
to put
oh,
up with
that's
his
not what we're
shit?
doing today. That's not what we're doing ever.
Yeah, she's like, you hitting a kid? Like, we're not putting up with that shit. So you have this man who is just broken from all sides, and there are points in here where he is a little lost boy, and X is like there to console him, but also, like you said, there to manipulate him.
I mean, it's like you were saying, like this whole cat and mouse thing was on multiple levels. Him trying to cultivate this relationship and kind of lure him in so he could get an in, so somebody could tell him what was going on in the preserves. And also, he also was still trying to make sure that he had family because he has to still be able to go out and profile and style and do all of these things. He can't have people be upset with him. But then, like you were saying earlier, when they started showing that the age range and the number of people who were involved in the poaching trade here in Kenya, and there's the one scene where things don't go right in one place and they have to try to find alternate means, and then they run into another crew.
Yo, that was the one that confronted him in the streets and was like, you in the wrong area? And he was like, I'll stab you. Yes, that like, yo, X was like, does he even know who I am? And I feel like that's the same thing we experience with watching old school gang members meet with these new crews who just be popping off at everybody because it's all about popping off and there's no etiquette to this
You ain't
gangster
got no
shit.
respect.
Nah, and that was interesting here too, but you could even look at that from the government perspective. You can even look at the government's angle here, right? And there's so much blame to be placed on them because that one scene where they kind of glorified not being about selling ivory and they burned all those tusks. I'm thinking, the message you're sending here is this is gonna piss poachers off. Like they're looking at that and going, that was how my family was gonna eat. The measly scraps we get from that was how we were gonna eat. So you know what? Poach harder, poach faster, poach stronger, nigga. Like, that's how
That's the
they
part
gonna act.
that kind of made me nauseous. He went on TV, the president of Kenya. He went on TV, and I thought it was interesting that he chose to give the entire speech in English. But
Because he's talking, you know why though. But you know why though.
yeah, I know why. That's why I just said it in, my work voice. But it was painful for him. And then like to see the faces of poachers who were watching this report, not just the consequences of that payload getting caught.
Bruh, X's
But when
face.
he told them what the street value was once it left Africa, did you catch their faces?
Yes. Yeah, but and I felt like I feel like there was praise from some critics for them not showing the industrial complex that comes from trades of ivory and such from countries that are impoverished like this, that are in such despair. But I think that's a very important thing to show. I think that there should have been a point in this film where they actually followed the handoff trade of ivory to where it finally lands in a jeweler near you on Black Friday. Like, I feel like they should have showed that, because that shows that it is not
piano.
Yeah, it's not a localized or isolated type of thing. They're not selling ivory to poor people in the country where they're getting ivory. It's kind of like you saw Uncut Gems. It's like Uncut Gems. We value the things that they are struggling to find, that they are working to themselves to death to get.
We put a number on something.
Right. They have it plentifully enough so that if they had the means to come here and, you know, sell it themselves and cut out all of it, because there are so many middlemen, and cut out all the middlemen and the markup over the process, they could get all, they could reap all the benefits of that. They would. But they are in a situation, they are under the thumb of a higher power, under a higher power that would never allow this.
I mean, come on, let's be real. I don't care what anyone says. I fundamentally and firmly believe that the black market out of every country, including the one I'm currently sitting in a chair in, funnels through government resources.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, there's tariffs, there's trades, there's ports, there's payoffs. All of those things have to happen before you get something from somebody killing something somewhere out in the wild, or digging something up out the ground, or somebody dying in an avalanche for you to get some damn diamonds. Because blood diamonds aren't just about war. They're about death. So is ivory. And it's not just the elephants who die. It's like this one, the one man who they were following through this story, when you started to get it and he started to give you his pass, you started to realize this is the only trade he knows. And his father was a poacher, died a poacher. This is all he knows. So when the president is on TV talking about this new breed of new generation of poachers, yes, they're over poaching. But ask why. Do they have water? Do they have food? Is the money that this government has gotten and supposed to be putting down into aid into these villages actually making it there? Do they have medicine in their clinics? How much is school that he has to go kill somebody to pay for his kids to go? How much is gas? In a country that's full of sunlight and water, how much is gas? Because we've got them fossil fuel dependent.
Right.
Because that's in our best interest.
And they don't have to make a whole documentary about that industry. They just needed to present it. A 5-minute breakdown. They could have did one of the damn the little cartoon infos from you saw in Jurassic Park when they explain how dinosaurs are made. Like, they could have did that.
You want an infograph?
They could have did that. They could have did that here.
Man, they could have done a photo flip of end product of ivory.
Yeah. They could have done anything.
They could have just done a photo flip.
I don't want to put that on the director and say that I think they should have done it, but I don't think that takes away from the film. What I do think is that it takes away from the proper perspective that you should take away from watching this film. And I'm not sure if particular complexions are going to get that part of it. I think they're just going to look at this with localized glasses on, right?
They're going to look at it the same way that they look at the rainforest being on fire. It's an abstract concept that's happening somewhere else, and none of them are going to think about the fact that rare floor that they got is because somebody went down there and cut down some trees that are never going to ever be replaced, or that the counters that they got is because someone cut down trees and dug into the ground to find a quarry to get them some, you know, stone. No one wants to make the causal connections between the why and the how and the where does this end up. Mm-hmm. No one really truly wants that in their documentaries. And I think if you start looking around at some of the awards groups and what documentaries are getting nominated, their nominees will demonstrate that to you. I thought this was a very well done documentary. I thought it was more objective than I've really heard anybody talking about the grassroots level and the ground level issues that go into poaching. It raised a lot of questions for me on things that I hadn't contemplated. It drew a lot of correlations for me between the things that happened there. So when you start talking about a prison industrial complex, and it starts to feel real familiar when you're talking about something like poaching, or you're talking about a pipeline that leads to nowhere but death or prison. And you're talking about something like this, and you start to see the same types of things, you start to understand why it's very difficult to continue to be accepting of these stories told in a vacuum. This was so well done to show what's happening on the preserves and what people are willing to do and the callousness. And quite frankly, like you said, the numbing out that comes in and the fact that they're just like, yeah, we go, you know, they're driving down the seat. They see an elephant and they're like, well, that's a waste. Not that, look at her. She's beautiful. Look, she's healthy and she can have children. They drive by her and they're like, how much do you think those would cost?
Mm-hmm.
How much do you think we could get for her face? Her face! I was like, at one point, I'm literally in my apartment. I don't know what my neighbors think of me. I'm screaming, run, elephant, run.
You, and that's, you know, it's like, you have all of these mixed and meshed emotions. You feel bad for both the guys and their families. You feel bad for the country in general. You feel bad for the animals. You feel bad for the preserve. You feel bad when you find out what happens to people at the end of this, because it's a very interesting ending to this story.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the things that makes this documentary so well done, like you've said, the objectivity of it, but it's the fact that the director, I feel like, had a team of videographers trailing both of these people at the same time. And because you can then go back and edit those things together, you get a full picture. This isn't like other documentaries where you get just one perspective. For instance, you sent me the documentary, Heshaw? How do you say this guy's last name?
Hesberg.
And I thought Hesberg was interesting. But I couldn't help but wonder, this guy seems infallible and perfect. And it's so interesting that you could have someone doing something for so long. It's just, as I say, interesting as in, we just aren't that blessed as humanity to have people who are that good. And for there not to be any dirt on him really in this documentary that's presented, and for him to have had so many enemies in such high places, and they talk about how people used the information they had on each other to force each other to do things, whether they were the right things or the wrong things. And most of that stuff, it wasn't about right or wrong at all. It was just about presentation. So,
and
you know,
power.
Yeah, basically. So I look at this and I think to myself, imagine if this was only from the perspective of X. Imagine if this was only from the side of Assad. That, to me, that's not a full scope. Right. That
no, just and paints it also the enemies. It skews the perspective on your emotional investment.
Yeah, it creates villains. And I don't think in this, even though I feel like killing elephants is some villainous shit. Like, I also feel bad for them. I feel bad for them. And I'm like, these are people that are trying to survive. The ones that are just, I feel like, recklessly doing this. Yeah, they're absolute just pure villains. I don't feel like there's any moral fiber in some of them just watching the way they do it. But I don't feel like X is that way. I feel like X is about survival. And I feel like Hassan is about
survival.
He's doing
what he knows.
Right. That's how I feel. You know, it's what am I going to do? Go work in some dirt pit, digging up mm-hmm. shit for the rest of my lives and wear and tear my body in.
Right.
You know.
But a side note, the reason why I gave you Hesberg is because that guy actually was legit. And I was fascinated. I have to give the disclosure. My undergraduate is the University of Notre Dame.
I know why you sent me that, because of that too. I was like, she sent me this because it's Notre Dame.
No, I sent it to you because Father Hesberg was legitimately somebody who, you, when you talked to him, you really felt like somebody else was talking to you. That he wasn't just talking on. He was truly, truly how he's presented, and it was very eerie, and I was like, there's no way. But he wasn't perfect, and I didn't feel like that. I felt like something doing something like that for Hesberg was kind of more a memorialization than just a simple documentary. And I feel that they did leave some of the areas where there should have been questions raised about, did he go far enough, or, you know, How did he leverage this, and why was he so passive in these situations? Because I think that somebody like Father Hesburgh, who actually did manage, who turned down power, mafia, I'm in charge of the World Bank, Molbiari type power, turned it down for another kind of power.
I think that it's good to have a documentary that presents a person who can be idealistic. Because you don't, like I said, a lot of it is trauma and us following the rise and fall of terrible people. And I think
Right.
it's
But
very rare that we
that's
get a
one of the, I
documentary
also
like
sent it to you
this.
because it's a really good palate cleanser because he actually wasn't a terrible person
Yeah.
and it goes over a large span of time. But the other reason why is because the thing that I don't like about what they do for when they want to, and I feel is a difference of what they did with Toni Morrison, and it's because she was still alive, is they never ever zero in on any of the sins or shortfalls of pacificity and omission that Father Hesburgh made. Ever. And in a documentary like When Lions Become Lamb, or flip that, reverse it, because in Willy Wonka, everything is about, it's everything that we saw is playing out on a palette of the sins of pacificity. You know?
Yeah, no, it's a lot here. So, we should probably wrap this up. I don't want to get into too many more kind of
I don't want to
spoilers that I feel like we
spoil.
had a
I want people
super.
to watch it. I think it's interesting. I think we, as people of color in America, tend to get very, 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 very narrowly focused on our struggle and what it looks like. And I think that we need to remind ourselves that the world is round, and a lot of these issues you will find recognition in places that don't look anything like what you think they should, or the people don't act how you think they do. And the world also has so many areas of gray that we need to not fall in to some of the traps that get laid for us by the people who would like us to only think about ourselves. And I think When Lions Become Lambs is a good reminder that certain issues that come into play that have to do with supremacy, that have to do with colonialism, that have to do with imperialism, but also have to do with self-loathing and internalized hate and internalized limitations. And it's all tied in your money. It's tied into your money. I mean, this is a whole different perspective on your money or your life.
Yeah, I'm ultimately for just a short takedown of it all, I just pretty much think that it's less a documentary that's a diatribe against poaching and more a personal look into, circumstance. And I think that is a better story to tell, or the
Agreed.
inevitability, a personal look into the inevitability of circumstance. And
Consequence.
that works. So check it out for sure. I think it's going to be available on Netflix. I think it actually is available on Netflix now, if I'm not mistaken, or was being released this coming weekend. Let me check real quick. I want to make sure I give you all the right information.
Don't lie to people.
I try not to, but sometimes it's necessary. Let's see. When Lions Come Lambs. Is these are the notes. Well, it had its world premiere at Tribeca in 2018, but when is it going to be? I had a release date. Give me 1 second and I will find, because I know I had one. That's why we're dropping this review now. There would be no reason to do this if there was nowhere y'all could find it.
It opens in LA November 22nd
Well, that's
and
passed.
New York December 6th.
So that's what I thought. So it's still opening in theaters, and it was opening theaters this week on limited, I'm assuming. Which is fine.
Yes.
That's fine. Okay. So yeah, if
Yeah,
you can
so it
find
hits
it.
select theaters December 6th and it starts to roll out from there. But I do believe you are correct and there's a VOD date, so we'll find it and drop it in the post.
That's what I want to find. So yeah, LA 22nd, but I don't see the VOD date yet. It should be soon though, because they're not going to do this release in theaters too long. before making it available. So I would assume maybe 2 weeks after
it should probably be available. I mean, that's what they did with the report.
Yep. All right. So we'll let y'all know on the site, or follow us on social media if you don't already, at Phenom Black. And Ro, what is your handle?
At Book Blurred.
I never remember anybody's handle these days.
It's like whatever. I mean, whatever. I'm Black, I'm nerdy, I'm weird. Book Blurred wasn't taken. I took it.
So cool. Follow us on there and we'll let y'all know. And just follow us in general, because we're going to be talking about other movies and documentaries that we're watching. I know I've been doing that on my Facebook and my Twitter for the last 2 weeks. So if you're looking for something, if you're trying to track down something to watch and pass the time because you finished watching the newest episode of The Mandalorian this week, then yeah, follow me and you'll get that information.
Yeah, and I'm about to do a thread of all the things that I've watched and could have, should have, would have considered for. I might just do a big, huge FYC thread and just toss it up. Or, you know, I may be dragging some more folks in some more conversations with me, because y'all are finally catching up to stuff that I've been sitting here waiting on people to get to see. I'm gonna make you talk to me.
Okay, cool. And until next time, this has been MTR Network. This has been a review of When Lambs Become Lions. We'll holler at y'all next time. Peace.